Welcome to Societal Shapers, a podcast by PL Cadilla, the place to get inspired, find your purpose and courage, and get tools to become the next female leader, creating real results and meaningful changes.
So thank you again, Emilia, for joining the Societal Shapers podcast. I am PL Cadilla, your host, a public sector woman empowerment coach. And today we have Emilia, who is the acting CEO for Business Events Sarawak. So Emilia has an amazing CV, and she has 18 years of experience in branding, marketing, and PR, and has received many awards in the past, particularly within the creative marketing space. So that's really, really amazing. And she's been with BE Sarawak in the last 13 years. Okay, so Emilia, would you want to start by giving a little bit more introduction on yourself, particularly with this legacy impact movement?
Oh, thank you so much, PL. Such an honor to be here. And I'm so glad that I'm able to share my experience and my latest big project, the legacy impact. Well, I myself actually, I'm a Bidayu. I'm originally from Sarawak, and as you know that growing up in a rural area, just like many of my friends, it was not easy, but it's definitely worth it. And to be able, when I was young, I was never imagined myself that I will be able to travel around the world to do what I do. And the best part is that, being able to do the thing that I love and contribute it back to the community. And that's why when a business events, the global community came up with the new perspective of business events, and they call it legacy impact. This is where the conferences, meetings, incentive groups, and even the corporate meetings are no longer just about bringing the number to the destination, only about tourism, but also how it can change and transform the social community and also the economic development for the country. So, it's very exciting.
That's great. I wanted to bring you back a bit to your experience as a woman climbing this corporate ladder to some extent, right? So, what were the challenges that you faced? Maybe you can share a little bit more about that.
Well, the challenges that I face is, as a woman, I think we can see the different perspective. Being in the industry that being championed by a lot of men, I think the first thing that, what comes to my mind is that I'm not afraid of them. that's from my experience. You shouldn't be afraid of men. I think you should be afraid of yourself when you because you need to equip yourself. When it comes to professional, when it comes to career, it's about skill, it's about talent, it's about your passionate. So I think that there is no gender that can bound us in championing our passion and our belief. And I think we need to have the strong ground of passion and belief when you want to pursue your professional career and life.
Yeah, you sound, you're a very, very confident person. I love the mental mode or the mindset that you have, which is, just focus on your passion and believe that there is no limit to anything that you'd like to achieve in your
because
career.
Because in my perspective is that, and from my experience, the biggest challenge that, when it comes to building your career is yourself. Mm-hmm. Let it be men, let it be another woman, it's yourself. I think once you can overcome this challenge, and of course, you need to uplift other women too. Because you are in the same woman community, you need to be united,
absolutely,
for a stronger support.
And I see many of your team members are also women, which is really good.
Yes, that it was not planned, it's coincident. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I think with with most of the I think the work, the line of the work that we do, the nature of our work, is somehow, we attract more women than men. I think it says something. Defense event is not an easy, easy industry.
Absolutely. I agree. And now to move the attention back to BE Sarawak, right, and this position that you're in. So it's been really impressive that BE Sarawak has managed to, in the last, you know, what is this, about 13 years, right?
13 years,
That it's brought over 938 business events to Sarawak, right, with bringing in a total revenue of about 847 million ringgit. Or even in 2019 alone, you hosted 99 business events, which gave a total of 122.7 million. So that's really, really great numbers. But given, you know, the recent outbreak that literally hit 2020, and given the future of what's going to happen within the travel industry, etc., how do you think this has impacted the BE Sarawak's event planning, and also how are you going to pivot your business model?
Well, you know, we definitely will see a lot of changes, and with a lot of national, international under our belt for 2020, it you know, the impact is huge. It's just not just for business events sector, even for the industry, and let alone, you know, it's definitely, you know, it will impact the tourism overall. And I can say that, you know, business event and tourism is one on the industry that will that hit badly during the you know, this pandemic. So, you know, while definitely there will be a postponement to a number of business events, and I'm relieved to say that the event cancellation are at its very minimal at the moment. Our team has been working really hard to ensure that all of our clients are postponing their events and provide them with the right support, beside moral support, even financial support, marketing support, to ensure that, you know, when they postpone their events to next year, you know, they will still get, they will get even more support. And to ensure also that their objective for organizing an event it will still materialize, you know, among their own sector.
So on your relationship, right, especially like being that bridge between government and the private sector, so what have been the gaps and opportunities that have emerged or become more prominent during this challenging time for both sectors? Maybe you could share about three.
In every situation, there are good and bad. With the COVID-19 going on, I feel that in the midst of all this panic, it is giving both sectors a chance to re-strategize and think out of the box in terms of how to push forward certain aspects in their business or organization that were previously secondary. And a good example in digitalization, with the worldwide restriction on face-to-face contacts and other forms of direct communications, we have seen now everyone shift to virtual meetings and webinars and all kinds of e-platform in the hope of maintaining relevancy in general operation. And second one is another opportunity gap is improved efficiency. Many organizations, both private and government, suffer from slow procedures, complex bureaucracies, and rigid hierarchies in making international life, organizational life, less than pleasant. COVID-19 has forced many of them break through these rigid systems and act instantly.
So given, you know, the fact that you're a woman within this industry, right? Do you feel that you are a little bit more or a little bit less advantaged compared to your male counterparts, probably, or do you not feel that difference at all?
Well, I think if I put myself in the shoes of other women, some of us might have a different experience. I think I believe that for myself, I really don't see that. You know, maybe I ignore it. I'm not sure, but you know, as I'm concerned, is that, you know, I believe in my passion, and I'm very confident with what I do. And so far, you know, the people that I've met have been very supportive and giving me a chance to prove myself. And, you know, I really don't see the gender issue in this.
Yeah.
But it's somehow, it might have come across, but perhaps it depends with how you take it. I do not take it as a gender issue, but I think it is more on maybe experience and maybe when it comes to, you know, I still have more to prove to, you know, to them.
I really like this optimistic mindset. And if you don't mind me asking, Emilia, because, you know, a lot of the challenges that women faces is because they usually have families to take care of. They have other responsibilities and expectations. So are you married? Do you have a family? Do you have children?
Well, I'm a very proud single mom, and I work hard. I take care of my son. Yeah. And, you know, there's pro and cons. Sometimes you hear a sexism comments about it, and it's a taboo about a single mom. But I, of course, you know, everyone has their own story behind it. But however, I believe that, you know, being a professional, they should, what the personal experience or the personal life shouldn't be brought up when it comes to professional. I can be a single mom, I can be a married woman who has husband and children at home, but it comes to work, we are all equal.
That's true. So how do you find that balance, and how did you manage to find that strength and courage within you, especially as a single mom, to continue to pursue your passion?
Yeah, it was not easy, especially when my, you know, when my son was still very young, and you need more support from your extended family to take care of him and to be with him. You know, it takes a lot of communication between me and my son to explain why I have to be travel. You know, I have to travel every month, and he disappeared almost, you know, like every week. And still have a strong bond with him. It takes a lot of work, actually. You know, it's a day and night. It's not about you wake up at 5 and then you can sleep at 8 p.m. It's until midnight, and that thing is go on and go on. I start with Business Events Rawa as a sales coordinator. So, you know, it's a quite low level in the organization. So within, I think within 10 years, I was, you know, I've been promoted for every few years until I reached myself as a general manager for marketing and communications. And a year after that, I was promoted as chief operating officer, and now as an acting CEO. But, you know, you can't define someone's success for what, you know, they are today. It's what the hard work they have put 13 years ago.
And I love that. So, thank you so much for sharing that part. And I just want to give that part a bit of a focus, whereby you started from the lowest level and slowly climbed up that ladder. You know, you persevered, and on top of that, you ensured that you kept this strong bond with your son. And I think that's really important for all women out there to hear. It doesn't matter whether, you know, if you are married or whether you end up becoming a single mom or a divorcee. The idea is maintaining those strong bonds with people closest to us is utmost important, because then only will we feel the work that we're doing is a lot more rewarding, right? So all this success that you have won't mean anything if you don't have a relationship with your child, right? But then because you ensured that you had, you know, that quality time, and you continued communicating with your son, explaining why you had to travel and why you had less time to spend with him because you needed to do this. And I think that's amazing. A lot of women need to hear this, to know and not to feel guilty because, you know, they've been cornered in this situation and feeling guilty about, oh, should I go out and work or should I leave my child? What are my options? So really, given what you have in the situation that you have, you know, you go with it, and then you see how it goes. And I think that's a beautiful success story.
And there's a lot of option, you know. You know, my son followed me to a meeting at one point. When I have a meeting on the weekend in the hotel, you know, at the hotel with the client, I take him with me.
Wow.
And, you know, during a dinner that I have to attend, if no one can take care of him, I take him with me. So in a way that actually my son has a better exposure.
Yeah, I agree.
So he meet a lot of experts. Yeah, he meet a lot of experts. He network. He communicate very well, pretty matured, and carry on a lot of, you know, a good conversation with an adult. So actually, it's a good exposure for them. It depends how you look at it. How do you want to, you know, it depends how do you want to position them. Do you want to position them as a kid at home that are waiting for a mother, or you want to bring them with you and, you know, get them to experience what you experience, then they understand.
Yeah, I love that.
And the other thing that I want to add is that I think it's also maybe because being a woman, and the other thing is that, you know, like, when you are in the assistant position and you attend a high level meeting, and most of the attendee is all men, and they are, we can say that they are more senior. So when you walk in there, you're by yourself, walk in there, and you know, you sometimes, some, you know, we are women blessed with sometimes with the younger younger look than our age. So when you attend a meeting like that, you look like a junior. You look like a junior and you're a woman. So when you walk in, it's just hilarious. It just takes some time, you know, to really put down, you know, tell them, look, I'm here to give you an opinion, you know, to contribute my opinion. I'm not here to take a minute of meeting.
That's interesting. Yeah, so, you know, I think that's a very interesting story, because, you know, you walk into a room full of men, and then, and you know, people there have this expectation that you're probably a secretary who's there to, like, you know, take down the minutes of meeting. And how do you then position yourself and say, excuse me, everybody, but this is my plans, my strategy, or my thoughts and opinion on this particular subject, and getting people to take you seriously. So I think that, that requires a lot of courage, and also a lot of knowledge. So obviously, you know, in order to become a woman of substance, which is, you know, the last question that we're going to finish this session off with, is, you know, the importance of building ourselves to become a woman of substance. So not just so that people can take us seriously, but also to ensure that whatever opinion or thought that we have is backed up by facts and statistics, right? Because that's how you win an argument, and that works for both ways, female and male. So just to finish off the session, I have one question for you, which is, as this is a platform to create more women with substance, what would your advice be to our young female talents listening?
Right. The first one, again, don't be afraid of men, and then don't feel intimidated. You know, when it comes to work, skill and talent, there's no gender that can bound us in championing our passion and our belief. And second is, don't be afraid of competition and criticism. It doesn't matter who they're from. It can be from women, it can be from men. These two things may hinder us, but it should not be a reason to question our competency and skill. You know, where there is competition, there is motivation. Where there's a criticism, there is a lesson to take away. Be resilient to the downside of your professional and personal journey. And then the third one is, do uplift other women. You know, if you wish to lead, you must be able to provide a safe and supportive space for other talents to learn and grow. And then finally, do contribute back to the community, to the sector that you are in, and to your country. It is only when your passion is, your passion has a bigger purpose rather than yourself, then you can achieve meaningful fulfillment in life.
Beautiful. I love that. So, you know, amazing four key takeaways. I know I said that was my last question. I just have one more question to know, you know, where you get this energy from, right? So do you have a group of, you know, female friends, or, you know, a community of support that helps you? You know, so for example, when the higher you climb up the ladder, usually they say that the journey becomes lonelier as you become higher, as you get into higher positions. Is that true? And do you have a group of people that support you?
I mean, in a way that, you know, when you work pretty much, you know, when you spend a lot of time working, so your circle of people is professional people. So you probably will have less friends and probably less contact with your family, except that, you know, your immediate family. However, you know, at one point, I do feel lonely in the peak of, you know, all the promotion and so on, because your colleague is not your colleague anymore, because they become your, you know, you'll become their boss.
Yeah,
subordinate. And then they start looking at you in some kind of figure that they cannot share everything anymore. But it depends how you want to carry yourself and what kind of leader you want to be. And do you want to be a leader? I always tell my team, I'm not your leader. You know, we are in this together and we're going to build more leaders together. Because it's no point for me to be upfront there without the support of the rest. And I want to make sure that, you know, one day, if I'm not with the bureau anymore, that we have so many leaders that the team, the board member, the ministry can choose from, you know?
Yes.
And there's point with the choices. So,
oh my God,
to have, so you need to have a positive people around you. No, I mean, for sure, you will have a negative people around you, but, you know, let them be, you know, focus on a positive one, create your own community. Don't stick with the local only. Build, you know, local community, national community, and international community. You need all of this level of support. And, you know, you can, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm a CEO or I'm an acting CEO. You know, my door always open. My team can criticize me left, right, up, down. But we must remember there's one objective, you know, that's just, you know, it's all about leadership and every opinions of team member accounts.
I love that. And I completely agree with you. I love two points. The first is, you know, ensuring that there's another pool of talent that you're developing alongside. And that's, you know, subconsciously thinking of that succession pool or succession planning, right? So one day when you step down, who's going to take your place? And the second one is, this is a journey that we're all trying to figure it out as we go along. No one has it all figured out because no one has the answer, right? So it's, instead of being alone and by yourself trying to figure things out, why not have a team to figure things out with you, right? So I think I love that words of staying in a community, building that community, being supportive for one another. And I think that's really, really gold. A lot of the things that you've said in this interview has been gold. And I hope the young female talent listening to this podcast will find inspiration in it. And to close the entire session, don't be afraid of the men.
That will be the tagline.
Okay, that was beautiful. So thank you again, Amelia, for joining us.
Thank you so much, Pia.
The questions as much as I enjoyed interviewing you, and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you liked it, give it a thumbs up, subscribe, leave a comment, and share with your friends. Be sure to tune in to the next episode, and to find out how to be part of Societal Shapers, head to www.plcadilla.com and check out our coaching programs. Catch you soon!